Sylvia wakes thinking of dactyls as if they'd been spilling out across her dreams. Washington. Dumbledore. She stretches, throws back her comforter, opens the curtains. Some subterranean part of her head engaging in pattern assessment. Bothersome. Yes. Trigonometry. No. In the kitchen, she drinks coffee, dusted sunshine about her shoulders, and looks out to her back fields. In the distance, a slim streak of lake is silver blue, and the mountains are August lush and serene. Gesturing. Clusterfuck. This abstract clutter, this part of herself not making sense to herself, pursuing its own avenues of nonsense inquiry, a nighttime devoted to syllabic count. Soon, a late morning of tennis with her neighbor. Veritas. Festering. She makes a light breakfast, toast with butter and marmalade. Marmalade. If it would work, she'd shake her head like a swimmer clearing droplets of water from her ears. Mucinex. Bessemer. Hexagon. There is no languor in this kind of thinking. Already, it seems beyond her to lead a rational day. Joshua. Joshua, that must be it. Her head engaged in fractal logic, tiny shapes mimicking, at least in sonic apparition, the large one, the one that comes at her from these absurd, oblique angles. She thinks, but can never pinpoint when, where, how. A slide occurred from actual happiness to only the appearance thereof. Or it was never actual happiness, just happenstance, and they were too young to know the difference. A sorority sister decided she needed someone older. They were young enough then to conflate older with worldliness and to think 25 was old. Enter Rusty getting his master's in architecture. He had an easy laugh along with a serious temperament. It was spring, and they'd go for nighttime walks on campus. She admired his understanding of construction and space, of buildings' histories. Everything was shadowed brick and white pillars and black branches against a dark blue sky. Was it love? She preferred him because he was interesting. He knew how a spiral staircase was built. They both loved beauty and patterned things. Magnolias were in bloom. The summer after Rusty finished his degree, they were married, and then his great aunt passed away, the bohemian one who lived up north in a stone cottage on the western edge of Vermont, and she bequeathed him this house. She was pregnant with Jack before she could blink, and then Susan. Happenstance, happenstance, her husband, her home, her children. A sorority sister sets her up, a great aunt dies, and thus her life takes shape. Just, it seemed an adventure, it seemed good fun. She'd been a Cavalier girl, she liked Rusty, she liked Lake Champlain, she liked dirt roads, she liked babies who smelled like stale milk. She liked hard, frosty winters and learning to use the wood-burning stove. Susan and Jack, 28 and 30, have maintained their polite outrage with her for over a decade now. When they call, they talk of superficialities, of work, but not love, nor sadness, nor happiness, nor anything in between. They think she betrayed them when they were teenagers, so they'll leave her with no more opportunities for betrayal. Meanwhile, Joshua, whom she hasn't seen in nearly a decade, still haunts her dreams. She takes it. The fact is, her life rolled on easily and well for such a long time. And even now, it's as if her days are cloaked in richness and beauty, if a kind of fraught beauty, as if the whole landscape secretly wished it could undo itself. Happenstance is not a dactyl, but a cratic, that last syllable long. Bitterly, however, is.